Well, we finished up Psalm 91, and we're going to go on to Psalm 92, and we're just going to look at the first five verses, first five verses of this psalm. And the subject, the title of the message this evening is A Good Thing, A Good Thing. And we see that from Psalm 92 and verse number 1. And we'll look at three expressions that God finds good in His sight, a good thing. And so this is not, wouldn't be an all-encompassing list of what things would be good in God's sight, but I saw three things there that we're going to look at that are good in God's sight. Before we do anything, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for all that You've blessed us with and given to us. We thank You that we're able to be here this evening. We're thankful for Your word. Father, I pray that You'd lead us and guide us into all truth. I pray that You'd help me, Lord, to speak and say what needs to be said. I pray that Your Holy Spirit would apply the words that are spoken to the hearts and minds of each and every person here, that we'd be drawn closer to You, and that most of all, You'd receive all the praise, the honor, and the glory. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we'll read the first five verses of this psalm, and then we'll look at it. It says, and by the way, that the heading there says, a psalm or a song for the Sabbath day. And as many of you know, the Sabbath day for the Jew in the Old Testament would be the day of Saturday. And that's when they worshiped the Lord, was on Saturday. Not the same for us today, but that's what the heading says there of the chapter. It says, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, and to sing praises unto Thy name, O Most High, to show forth Thy loving kindness in the morning and Thy faithfulness every night upon an instrument of 10 strings and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. For Thou, Lord, hast made me glad through Thy work. I will triumph in the work of Thy hands. O Lord, how great are Thy works, and Thy thoughts are very deep. That's God's word. I don't know, I'd ask you a question here this evening. Do you know what's good? Do you know what is good? Well, if you were to ask 10 people the same question about what is good, you'd probably get 10 different answers. Everyone has an opinion about what good is or what is good. But God is the standard of what is good. And we looked at a message here about 2 or 3 weeks ago about truth. And human beings cannot be the standard of truth. Because then if they are, then there is no standard, because everyone has a different opinion about what truth is. And so there cannot be an objective truth there. If everyone has a different opinion about what truth is, there must be someone who gives truth, and that's God. The same way with something that's good. If we're going to decide what good is, we must go to God and ask Him what is good. And so tonight we're going to look at three expressions that the child of God gives to God that are good. Now, I don't know if you noticed the first few words of this psalm, but number one, it's good to give. Now, if you and I are Christians here this evening, you ought to realize that the Christian life is a life of giving, and it's good to give. Most people by nature are selfish. Whenever you're born, you're not born as a giving person. You're not born with that innate desire just to be giving. Most children, when they're born, what they want something. They need something. They want a bottle. They want to be burped. They want to play. They're selfish. It's me, me, me. It's give to me, give to me. They're not born being giving people. We have to learn that. We have to learn to be giving people. And the first thing that the psalmist says, it's a good thing to give. Now, God says it's good to give. Paul the Apostle said in Acts chapter 20 and verse 35, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And it is better to give than to receive. If you want a blessing, hey, give. Give something. Be a blessing to someone. And then you'll get a blessing back. But it's good to give, but it's not only good to give, it's good to give to God. Now he says, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. And so we give to God. Now, the reason that we give to God is not because God needs something. That's not the reason that we give. God is not incomplete. God is all complete. When we give to God, it's not because we're trying to complete God or give something to Him that He needs. That's not the reason that we give. We can add nothing to God. He is complete within Himself. He is self-sufficient and self-existing. If everyone in the world died and all of creation went into a big black hole and went away and was never seen again, that wouldn't take anything away from God. Nothing at all. God does not need us. He doesn't need me or you. But the best thing about it is, the blessing about it is, He chooses to use us to fulfill His purposes and His plans upon this earth. Amen. So that's a blessing to us. So it's good to give to God, and He's not obligated to use us, but He chooses to use us, and for that, I am thankful. So giving to God does not benefit God, but it benefits us. It's a blessing to us to give back to God when we give to Him. We give to God because He deserves it all. If God had not created us, we would not be in existence right now. So we owe our very existence to God. Everything about us we owe to God. Our intellect, the fact that I can stand up here and speak and you can listen, is a gift from God. Everything comes from God, so we owe God everything. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but many times we don't give to God what He deserves. We think that we are God. We think that we are the self-existing one. And we forget about God, and we don't give Him the praise and the honor and the glory that He deserves, but that's why we give to God, and we also give to God in order to glorify God. Whenever we give back to God sacrificially, it brings glory and honor to Him, so that's why we give glory to God. And again, we give to God because He commands us to give to Him. We find all throughout His Word, honor the Lord with thy substance, it says in the book of Proverbs, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So we are commanded by God to give to God. And so the psalmist is speaking of giving sacrifices that are spiritual in nature in the text that we just read. Spiritual in nature. He's not talking about giving money or food or anything like that. He's talking about giving spiritual sacrifices back to Him. So let me give you three expressions that are good to give to God this evening, okay? Number one, we give thanks to God. Number two, we give praise to God. And number three, we give testimony or witness, not to God, but to others about God. So the first thing that is good to give, for us to give to God, is to give thanks to God. We see that in verse number one. It says, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. The very first attitude, the very first expression that the psalmist mentions here about giving to God is giving thanks. Now, why do we give thanks to God? Why? Because, as I already stated, everything comes from God. If it were not for God, we would have nothing. We must have a heart of gratitude towards God, and many times our hearts can become cold and selfish and indifferent to the things that God has given to us. I believe that the highest insult that a person or a human being can do to God is to not give God thanks. Not to acknowledge Him. I was thinking of a verse here that says to acknowledge God, but I forget it, but what would you think about a child and his father had given him everything that he or she needs? Gave him all the affection, all the love, all of the material things that he could need or want, And yet that child never gave thanks to his dad, never acknowledged his dad, went on about his merry life, and never acknowledged his dad one bit for all of the things that his dad had given him. What would you say about that person, that child? You say, that child is a dirty, rotten scoundrel, a little spoiled brat, and he's good for nothing because he's not acknowledging his dad for all the things that he's given to him. Did you know that that very thing is going on today in our world? People go on in their lives, and God has given them so much. God has given them the very breath that they breathe. He's given them a mind to think. He's given them a mind to reason. He's given them a life. He's given them a way to work and make money. He's given them parents. He's given them health. He's given them their very life. And yet they say, they don't acknowledge God. They don't even thank God. They don't even think about God. As a matter of fact, some of them say, well, I don't even think that God exists. But yet the very way that they can say those words is because God has given them that breath to say that. And yet we seem to give those people a pass. And we give ourselves a pass many times. Because we go throughout our day and we don't acknowledge God and we don't thank God for the things that He's given to us. We forget about God many times and we're not thankful. And so the psalmist says we must give thanks to God. Paul the Apostle writes in Romans chapter number 1 about those who would be unthankful to Him. He says that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. He says, they knew that there was a God. They have evidence that there is a God. But they decide that they don't want to believe that there is a God, and they are not thankful to God. And so they became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Why? Because they decided that they weren't going to be thankful to the God that had given them the blessings that they were enjoying. And so they rejected God, and they said, we're going to start worshiping the creature instead of the Creator, because men will worship something. And if it's not God, then it will be a statue, or it will be another man, or it will be something else, but they will worship something. And it all started by saying, I'm not going to acknowledge the God that gave me those things. You say, well, I can't see God. It doesn't matter whether you can see God or not. You don't have to see God. You have evidence on the inside of you that there is a God. Romans chapter number 1 tells us. You can know about these things. And so they worshiped the creature instead of the Creator, and they decided that they were not going to do what was good in God's sight, and that was simply give thanks. That's the difference between a Christian and a non-Christian. Christians are not marked by the fact that they are just super holy and super righteous. Hey, we're flawed. But at least we need to give thanks to God and repent when we do wrong. Now, the unbeliever will not give thanks to God, will not acknowledge that there is a God, and they'll go on their merry way and not repent when they do something wrong. So we must give thanks. Why should we give thanks to God? Because God is good. God is good. It says in Psalm 136, verse number 1, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. I don't know about you, but God has been good to me. God has been abundantly good to me. God is a just and a righteous God. God is not unjust. As a matter of fact, God gives people what they deserve at times. God brings judgment upon people. What would you think about a God that would not bring judgment or be just in His judgments? What would you think about a God like that? He's not good. What would you think about a judge that would just let every killer go free in the streets and never punish anybody? You'd think, man, what a worthless judge. He needs to put those people in jail, put them to death. Do something. Stop these speeders out on the street because they're getting dangerous. God's the same way. He's just. He says, hey, I'm going to put a stop to that. I'm going to punish sin. I'm going to punish unrighteousness. God's just. That's why we ought to give thanks to God. Amen. How about you here this evening? We get God's good to us because he's been merciful unto us. Now, he could have killed me a long time ago, or he could have thrown me in hell or given me what I deserve, but he didn't. And so God's merciful, and he's gracious, and he's kind, and he's loving. That's why God is worth worshiping and being thankful to. So he's long-suffering. He provides for our needs. Everything that we have, God has given to us. So we ought to be thankful to him. Everything that we have is a blessing from God. I'll read you some song lyrics here from the song Doxology. It's one of my favorite songs. It says, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. From all that dwell beneath the skies, let the Creator's praise arise. Let our Redeemer's name be sung through every land, by every tongue. Eternal are your mercies, Lord. Eternal truths attends to your word. Your praise will sound from shore to shore till suns shall rise and set no more. We must give God thanks because we experience everything that we're experiencing right now. And God's not done yet. There's a heaven to gain. There's eternal life after this. You want to talk about a good God, and he's given it to you for free. For free. You don't have to work for it. You couldn't have gained it. Even if you tried, you couldn't have gained it. He set his love upon you. Is that not a reason to give thanks? I believe so. Paul the Apostle said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 18, in everything give thanks. In everything give thanks. What about the trials of life? What about the hard times of life? Yeah. God's got a plan and a purpose in those things too. He's working out his will in your life. In everything give thanks. So the first expression that he gives to us is that of giving thanks to him. Do you give thanks to God like you should? I know I don't. I know I need to give thanks more. This will lead us to the next expression that the psalmist gives to God, and that's that of praise. If you have a heart that is full of thanksgiving to God, and you're always thanking God like we ought to and like I ought to, you know what's going to come out of your mouth next? Praise. Amen. Praise. He says in verse number 1, O sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. He says it's a good thing to praise God. A good thing. What's praise? Well, praise is an expression of approval or admiration. Do you approve of God? Do you admire God? Do you just look back at him sometimes in his word and say, man, I don't understand all about God and his greatness and his goodness, but praise God for who he is. Praise him. How should we praise the Lord? How should we praise him? The scriptures here tell us that we ought to sing to the Lord. Sing praises to the Lord. We come to church, we assemble together, and we sing praises to the Lord. Our songbook is filled with songs of praise and thanksgiving to God. Why? Because it's a good thing to do so. It's a good thing to give praise to God. That's how we display our praise to him. We come before God in song and we praise his name for all that he's done for us. I read a story about a Methodist British minister named W.E. Sangster. And he ministered a long time over there in Great Britain. He died in 1959, and he died very young. He began to lose his voice and his mobility back in the 1950s. And his disease that caused him all of his problems was muscular atrophy. Muscular atrophy means that your muscles start to shrink and you lose your mobility. You can't move around anymore. He wanted to keep serving God even though he couldn't keep preaching. So he said, man, I want to serve God. I'll throw all of my efforts into writing and prayer. I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep writing. He prayed to God and he said, He said, let me, he asked God, he said, let me stay in the struggle, Lord. I don't mind if I can no longer be a general, but give me a regiment to lead. I want to do something for you, Lord. He came to church one day toward the end of his life, about 2 weeks before he died. He could no longer speak anymore. He wrote a little letter or a little note to his daughter. It was on Easter morning, and he said these words. It's terrible to wake up on Easter morning and have no voice with which to shout. He is risen, but it would still be more terrible to have a voice and not want to shout. Do you want to shout for the Lord? Do you want to praise the Lord? Every one of us have a voice, and we ought to use it to praise our God while we have the chance, because we won't always have that chance or that opportunity. Praise the Lord. Whatever's on the inside of your heart will come out of your mouth. As Dad spoke about this morning in Sunday school, you have a treasure chest on the inside of your heart, and whatever's down there will come out of your mouth. It ought to be praise to God. This world that we live in, everyone, or they praise different things, but it's not God most of the time. They don't praise God. They sing about many different things and people, but they don't praise the Lord. What are they singing about? What are they praising about? Well, they praise sports heroes and singers, and they sing about fornication and adultery and drunkenness and all of these things. Why? Because they hold those things in high esteem and admiration. That's what they love, and so they sing about those things. What do you use your voice for? Is it for approval and admiration for the Lord? Do you sing about God? Is your mind filled with the Lord? Do you praise God and give Him praise that He deserves? It'll bring revival in your life. C.H. Spurgeon said, it's always a token of revival, it is said, when there is a revival of psalmody, that'd be songs. When Luther, that'd be Martin Luther, when Luther's preaching began to tell upon men, you could hear plowmen at the plow singing Luther's psalms. Whitfield and Wesley had never done the great work that they did if it had not been for Charles Wesley's poetry and for the singing of such men as Toplady and Scott and Newton and many others of the same class. When your heart is full of Christ, you will want to sing. Is your heart full of Christ here this evening? It'll bring a song out of your heart about Jesus Christ. You'll want to praise the Lord. It's a good thing to praise God. It's a good thing to praise Him. All throughout, ever since the beginning of time in creation, God's people have been singing about God. It says on creation morning that the sons of God shouted for joy and sang when they saw the great wonderful works of God and how He had created everything, tells us in Job chapter 38 and verse number 7. We are to sing praises to one another in the congregation. We come together and we sing together and sing praises to one another together. Paul the Apostle said in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 to 21, he says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Singing to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. What do? We stand up together and we sing to one another, and it's a blessing to us. Why? Because praise is a good thing to give to the Lord. We sing praises to God. Praise is a good thing. So do you have a voice? Give it to God. Give it to God. The Bible says make a joyful noise. You don't have to be a great singer. I'm not a great singer. You don't have to hit the notes just right, but I know some of you can. Give your voice to God. Sing praises to Him. Bless somebody else with your talent. Bless somebody else with your voice. The next expression and the final one that is good to give to God is testimony. We give testimony. Now, it's not testimony to God, but it's a testimony about God that we give to other people. We testify about the Lord. It says in verse number 2, it says, it's a good thing to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. He says, it's a good thing to expose the Lord to everyone that you are around. His loving kindness and His faithfulness. God is loving and He's faithful. And He says we should do it in the morning and at nighttime. You know what that means? Hey, like from morning to night, anytime, any time of the day, you can give thanks or you can give testimony to others to show forth, make it known, or expose. So the psalmist is saying, I want everyone that I know to know of the unfailing love of God and His faithfulness to me. And I'm going to tell everyone else about that. I'm going to let all my neighbors know. I'm going to let all the people that I know, I'm going to tell them about God. I'm going to give testimony to them about my God. So it's a good thing for us to tell other people about Jesus Christ and about our Savior and about the great God that we serve. Why? Because we are thankful to Him and we want to give praise to Him. And so when you have good news that you know about, don't you like to go and tell other people? Hey man, did you hear about so-and-so? Boy, it's good news. You want to tell somebody else about it. Give testimony to what you know. I read a story here recently about this lady. She was a German lady, Sophie Lichtenfels. I don't even know if I'm pronouncing her name right. She lived over in New York City, and she was a converted scrub woman. So I suppose that she went around scrubbing and cleaning. She was a cleaning woman. Couldn't speak very good English. She went to the Gospel Tabernacle in New York City, and A.B. Simpson was her pastor, and she desperately wanted to be a missionary. One day she prayed to the Lord, and she asked God, she said, God, would you make me a missionary? Would you send me to a foreign land? I want to go and I want to tell others. And she got to thinking, and she believed that the Holy Spirit was, I guess, speaking to her and talking to her, and she says, you live in an apartment complex. You have Chinese people up here above you. You have some Swedes over here to your left, and you have another race of people over here to your right. Why don't you go and tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ? And she said, man, I can be a missionary right here in New York City. I don't have to go to a foreign land. I got a mission field right here, right where I'm at. I can go and tell them about Jesus Christ. She got older, faithful servant to the Lord. She gave a lot of money to the little money that she made. She gave it to missions. She had a great burden for missionaries. And she was still lived in New York City. She got in the front of a cigar shop. She couldn't see very well, but she was talking to a wooden Indian. A wooden Indian. And somebody saw her. And she was witnessing to this wooden Indian. And they started making fun of her. You know, you're witnessing to a wooden Indian, can't you see? She said, well, my eyesight's not that good, and I just can't see very well. This was her response to the person who was making fun of her. She says, maybe I did witness to this wooden Indian. My eyesight's not so good anymore, but talking to a wooden Indian about Christ is not as bad as being a wooden Christian and ever witnessing about Christ to anyone. I believe that probably shut that person up. Hey, we ought to give witness to the things that we know. Witness to other people that we know. Give testimony. The psalmist says in Psalm 66, verse number 16, Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what He hath done for my soul. Has God done something for your soul? Has He saved your soul? We ought to tell people about it. Let other people know. Who's called to witness? God's people are called to witness. Ever since God, the reason that God called out the nation of Israel was so that He would be a witness to the heathen nations that were around them. Amen. He called them out so that they could give testimony and witness that there is one God, that He has His word, and that He has His will, and that He is a great Savior. He called them out to witness. I'll read you a portion of Scripture from Isaiah chapter 43 about them being a witness. He says in Isaiah 43, verse 10, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I've chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am He. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. He says, I want you to go out and I want you to tell other people about me. He says, I have declared and I have saved and I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. You go out and you tell other people about me. We are called to be God's witnesses. We tell them about our Savior. Same thing with the New Testament church. Why did God call out the New Testament church? To be a witness to everyone around us that are unbelievers, to witness to them. It's a good thing. It's a good thing to expose God to an unbelieving world. Whether they believe it or not, whether they accept it or not, that's not the issue. The issue is telling other people so they can be saved. Jesus Christ told his disciples in Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. And then he goes on there about where they would be witnesses. It's a good thing to witness. We're not called to give witness about ourselves. We are not the gospel. Jesus Christ is the gospel. And we tell others. We are supposed to be making him known. What do we tell him about? We tell him about his unfailing love, about his grace, about his mercy, about the danger that they are in if they do not receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. There is a penalty for sin. Whether they like it or they don't like it, that's not the issue. It's the truth. It's the truth. And we can tell them all the time. So we give witness through song, through thanksgiving, through our words, through our lives. We are called to give witness and show forth the faithfulness, love, and greatness of the God that we serve. So those are three things that we ought to give, that are good to give for the child of God. Now, why should we? Why should we? Other than the things I've already told you. Well, the first thing is because of who we are. You know what? We're prone to backslide. We're prone to wander from the Lord, aren't we? We're prone to forget about God's goodness. He says in verse number 4, if you'll read that in our text, he says, for thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. The psalmist says, you know what? I found some joy. And you know where I got it from? I got it from the Lord. I got joy through the work of the Lord. You know what? We're prone to get discouraged. We're prone to get distressed and depressed. Look around. You see the world, you see yourself, you look inside of yourself sometimes, and it's not very pretty sometimes. You know what you ought to do? If you want to get some joy, look at God. Look at God. And if we're constantly thanking God, and we're constantly giving praise to God, and we're constantly giving witness about God, you know what that does? That takes our eyes off of ourselves. We'll get some joy out of that. So that's the reason that we give praise and all of these things to God, these expressions to God, is because of who we are. We're weak. I'm weak. I don't know about y'all, but I'm weak. I need the Lord. So we need to look to Him and not to ourselves, lest we become discouraged and take the focus off of ourselves and back upon Him. We give these expressions because of who we are, but number two, we give these expressions to God because of who He is. Because of who He is. Look at verse number 5. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. Man, aren't you glad that God's not a human being? Aren't you glad that I'm so glad that He doesn't have the shallow thoughts that I have. God's a deep thinker. And He goes way deeper and way further than I could ever think or imagine. You know what that wants me to give praise to God. Thank God. Thank you, God, for who you are and for what you've done for me. We give praise to God because of who He is. God deserves all of it. He deserves all the thanksgiving, the praise, and all of the testimony that we can give to Him. Now, we started off the message, and I ask you the question, what do you think's good? Everybody has a different answer, don't they, to what they think is good. Why? Because we're still little children. We don't know exactly what's good sometimes. Let me encourage you here this evening not to be children anymore. Not to be takers, what I'm trying to say, but to be givers. Givers to God. Give Him what He deserves all of the time. Let us not be children, but be grown-ups. Let's pray. Heavenly Father,